Welcome to the Children's Law Podcast, brought to you by True North Child Advocates, where we believe that advocacy is the answer. Hey, everybody, it's Angela. I'm here today with John, and we're talking about everybody's favorite topic, resolutions. Now, I know some of you probably hate resolutions and some of you love them, but we thought at least as we go into the new year, if we could come up with a few things that you could focus on in your practice, it might be helpful. So I'm going to hand it over to John for our first resolution.
Hey, Angela. Yeah, it's time again. It's although it's hard to believe, right? 2022 is in the rearview mirror. I mean, I can't even do it. But I mean, my first resolution should probably be to just slow down and take stock of like every moment that's passing, because time is going so fast.
Agreed.
But anyway, speaking of slowing down and taking stock, our first suggested resolution is to count something that matters to you in your work. It can be anything, but if you've listened to this podcast very long, you know what we're going to suggest, what matters to us, is the time to permanency for your clients, the length of stay. And the way you can count this can be just very simple. You can just take a Sharpie and write the case's 1 year anniversary date, the 1 year date from the child's removal, on the front of each child's file. And every time you pick up that file, if you have paper files still, you see it there. If you have electronic files, maybe you can put it in your cover sheet or whatever you used, your master control sheet, so you see it there. If you don't have either of those or you don't know where to put it, I would suggest maybe using your Outlook calendar or wherever you keep your dates. You could actually go through your files and you could put the 1 year anniversary date for each client on your Outlook calendar or wherever you calendar your stuff. And then when that day comes, I guarantee you will be shocked at how quickly the year goes for each child. And like I was just saying, 2022, gone in an instant, right? And that's how it is for the cases. I mean, I know from doing case reviews with lots of attorneys that whenever I tell them it's been a year, they're almost always like shocked. They can't believe a year has gone by. And we all know that kids measure time differently than us adults do, right? It means it's more significant for what our clients and what they're going through. For us, it may be another year in our career, in our lives, but it's a heightened thing for our clients. So, I mean, start counting something. Doesn't have to be that, but of course, that's the one we hold nearest and dearest to our hearts.
Yeah, and I mean, I think this is really personal to your practice and how many cases you have, and maybe you're in an office and they can run a report for you, and that would be amazing. But I think the main idea on this one is really around keeping your eye on the ball, whatever that is for you. We like the time to permanency because it's so critical for children and maybe for little kids who are just coming in. You know, maybe you want to put the 6 month date. I mean, it really just depends. But I just keeping your eye on what's important in the cases sometimes can help you not feel overwhelmed and keep you focused there. So we have another resolution. This one is probably one everybody's thought about at one time or another. But this one is to pick an area of expertise, pick some subject area that you could learn a lot about and dedicate yourself to that over the year. This will put you in the position to be the person with the most knowledge, maybe in your office, if you're a contract attorney in your county or circuit. It also obviously helps you serve your clients. But I think a lot of us have wanted to learn a little bit more about this or that, but never taken the time. So the beginning of the year is a great time to say, you know what, I need to learn more about benefits for youth aging out of foster care or whatever the topic is. And what I would say is, and I think you all know this, there are endless resources in these areas. The NACC has a very robust website, ABA Center on Children and the Law. Most states have, you know, a court improvement office that puts out regular trainings, the bar, you know where to go. But the bottom line is if you could pick an area that you know that you need to learn, you can also be an asset in your county or circuit. And I think it's a great opportunity to really increase your knowledge, serve your clients, and also serve the broader community.
And there are so many places there, Angela, I just want to say that it's so critical. It's so nice to have go-to experts in your office or in your county, even that you know this person understands human trafficking, the issues, the programs that are good for kids, the programs that aren't good for kids, the law enforcement contacts that I need, all of the, you know, or benefits, aging out benefits for kids aging out. It gets a little more complex in every state. It's a little different, but it, knowing, you know, how long did they have to be in foster care to qualify for the tuition waiver? You know, what do they get in extended foster care? What happens to their Medicaid? When does that end? All that, someone who's a go-to expert who's really done a deep dive, and many of us don't have a chance to do a deep dive, right? Because we'll get a case, we'll learn that stuff well, but then we might not have to really exercise those muscles again for a while. So if there's someone who's really done the deep dive, and like from an academic way almost, and studied it and learned it, it's just a big help. And it also makes that person kind of like an expert in the, a respected expert in their jurisdiction.
Well, and if you really want to motivate yourself, sign up to train people on it. There's nothing right. like a deadline and knowing people are going to show up to keep it high on your radar. I know we've certainly done our share of trainings, and it does keep you motivated to yes. see that through. Don't roll your eyes, John.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a lot of work to train, but it's good. It's good because you learn stuff by
yeah.
teaching.
Yeah. All right. So we're just going to give you one more resolution because we're sure you have plenty of these on your own. And this is a big one. And what we want to ask you to do is recommit to the work. We recognize the state of the labor market. We know that pretty much any attorney out there can go out and make more money, get another job. It is really hard to be in our field right now, but we need you, the kids need you. And so I thought it would be helpful today. John has, he's going to get mad at me for saying this, but John has been in court for over 30 years. And so I thought he would be a great person to ask, how do you recommit each year? How do you stay with it? How about some tips for the newer lawyers out there?
Okay. Well, it's true. I have been doing child welfare law, juvenile law exclusively for 32 years. Jim and I were child prodigies. We came right out of elementary school and started right. practicing law. And what, you know, I think one thing that has kept me motivated and on point is I interview a lot of people for positions as a supervisor. And so I get to talk to people who are on the other side, right? Where the grass is supposedly greener. Okay. And we do know that that there is more green on the other side. Okay. We know that. That's accepted. Right. But I talk to the people who want to come and do what I do and what we do. And I get to hear from them what it's like on the other side, which is, yes, I make a comfortable living. I do make more. I will be taking a pay cut to come to work for you, but I need to do something that matters. I need to do something that I feel like I am having an impact in someone's life. I mean, there are people who went to law school because they did want to help people. They wanted to make things better. I'm not saying children's law is the only area of law you can do that. You know, good lawyers in every practice area can help people with their problems. That's what our job is ultimately. But there are people who see the need of the kids we serve, and they desperately want to get into this field and do the work. Now, I know right now we're in this weird place where, like you said, Angela, right? The job market is crazy. Everything is tilted in the favor of employees and not employers, right? There's no bargaining position left if you're an employer, because everyone has open positions and employees can pick and choose where they want to go. So it is tempting, I think, for a lot of people to dip their toe in the water and to leave children's law. And I've had people in the past leave and they go and they do stuff. Sometimes it's not usually money. It's sometimes I think it's a little bit of burnout, right? That secondary trauma gets to them. Sometimes I notice it sometimes coincides with personal stuff that may go on in their lives. right? So if you're dealing with your own stuff and your own trauma, it maybe becomes a little too much to take on all of the stuff we deal with every day and carry it the same way you normally do. So, but those people often come back after a couple years away, and they want to work for us again. They want to come back and do this work again. And I've had lots of people come back to it. So I think, you know, more than ever, we need committed children's attorneys in this field and in this practice, because we're losing some, right? We're losing some experienced ones just because they're leaving for salary increases that, you know, are hard to turn down, right? It's going to turn anyone's head if you're going to, you know, almost double your salary. That's going to turn anyone's head. But if you're in the field and you love it, I think what we're saying is, you know, really examine why you're in it and what this work is that we do, and recommit to it, and decide that, you know what, in 2023, I'm going to stay a children's lawyer. And that's what I'm going to do. What other people do is up to them, but this is my chosen field. Because I got news for you. 32 years, I've learned a couple things. And one thing is, the job market will change, salaries will shift, and children's lawyers will eventually start to catch up a little bit, like we always do. It takes us time to catch up to other practice areas. But there, every year we organize more and more, and we get more and more respect nationally for what we do. So,
yeah, and I think what we're not saying that there's anything wrong with people needing to make decisions for their families. You know, that's just part of life. And sometimes that happens. And like John said, sometimes you may leave for a time and come back. Maybe our listeners, we have listeners out there that have left and are thinking about coming back. And, but a lot of times having that constant, should I stay, should I go mentality kind of prevents you from doing the work where you are in the moment. The other thing I wanted to say was, there's a judge I know who calls this work of moral consequence. And I like it because, not because it's an excuse for us to be paid less. It's not an excuse for us to have working conditions that are harder. It's none of that. But we do get something that other people don't. And that is that we wake up every morning with a purpose, and we are doing our very best to help kids and families. And we go to bed at night knowing we tried our best. And, you know, I was a corporate lawyer. I think I've said that on here before, where I did big deals, where I did closings and transactions, and I can say for sure that there was no, it's good work and it needs to be done, but you don't get that. And so, you know, even though we do advocate for increases in salary, and we think children's attorneys deserve to be paid what any other attorney is paid, the truth is we do get a benefit that a lot of lawyers don't, the satisfaction in the work. And I think that's one of the things to think about as you recommit. I would, John, like to hear if there are any other things that you have done over the years to kind of keep your balance and not burn out, because I know that's what happens to a lot of folks in our field.
Right. Well, you know, I think it's kind of almost counterintuitive, but what has helped me sometimes not burn out is FaceTime with the kids, is getting deeper into my cases and really remembering, oh my gosh, I've just been pushing files and walking to court and being in court and being in staffings and dealing with case managers and supervisors and government officials. And wait, I represent someone here, my clients, you know. And so just, you know, and you know, look, it's been a stressful almost 3 years now for everyone, right? And I think that's part of why we see so much movement, right? Not just movement in the job market, employment market, and within the field of law, but movement physically across the country. People moving from California to Florida, New York to Florida, New Jersey to Florida. I wish everyone stopped moving to Florida. That's okay. That's another topic for another day. The burnout is real, and I myself was feeling it, right? Because I've lost some staff who've been with me a long time because their salaries were, you know, they could double their salaries going into private sector. And so I was thinking one day, like, this is exhausting. but we got appointed to a couple of kids, and someone had to go see them like that day to see if they wanted to be moved to their grandfather. And so I was like, okay, I'm downtown, I'll go do it. And I went to the shelter, and I'm in the shelter. It's your typical group home shelter, you know. And they bring these two kids out who have been, I will spare you the details, but horribly treated. And I was sitting in an office with them, talking to them, and I realize, oh, okay, yeah, that's right. When, you know, this is the heart of it, right? This is why I do what I do. Someone has to be here talking to these kids, answering their questions, knowing what questions to ask them, right? Interpreting their responses to me, and making sure that wherever they go next is safe, reading the home study critically so that they don't fall off, leave the frying pan and go into the fire, like happens to so many kids, all that. And I thought, if not me, who? You know, I've been doing it for a while, and I'm getting better at it, as are all our listeners, or they wouldn't be listening to the podcast, right? They want to get better at it. They're in, you know, and so it matters to those kids, and no one will ever know that, because the only people in that room were me and two kids who are, you know, so damaged. I'll be lucky to, you know, get them stable enough to have a healthy life someday. But that's okay, right? We don't do it for the accolades. And we don't do it to be heroes either. I don't want to try and paint myself as some kind of savior here, because there, as someone told me recently, there are no heroes in child welfare, right? And I would probably agree with that statement, but there, I have met a lot of villains, unfortunately. And sometimes I have to stop those villains. So if you think I'm a hero because I stop a villain, that's up to you. I'm not saying I'm a hero, but I'm saying, as any experienced children's lawyer knows, there are bad guys out there, and there are also negligent people out there. And yeah. And they need to be pointed out, and they need to be stopped and course corrected. And if not us, who? And that is something that when I interview people who want to work for me, universally is missing from most other practice areas, is that intrinsic sense of, if I wasn't here, what would have happened to this client? My goodness, what would have happened to this client? You know, and we know most of us have the opportunity to be doing something else, because most of the part, I go to these conferences, these are good attorneys who could be practicing in any area of law. And we've done a good job as a profession attracting good people, and we don't want to bleed too much talent here because of the post-pandemic economy. So just recommit, you know. And if your decision is I need some time away, or then that's fine. But if you're going to stay with it, then recommit. And you know, like I have to tell myself sometimes, stop working on your resume. You're not going anywhere, and you know you're not going anywhere. This is your chosen career. And I do think seeing the kids is a big factor in keeping you focused.
I totally agree. I've been consulting for a number of years, working at the state level, and I really miss the client contact that I used to have, because it is to me one of the most, I don't want to say rewarding, because that's not the right word, but it's what kept me connected and motivated and angry when I needed to be, and energized and empowered and all of those things. And so if your home visits have fallen off in the last year, what a great way to start off the new year is getting out there and seeing those clients and getting, you know, back in touch with why you started doing the work. And John, you did bring up one other, I think, important point I want to touch on before we wind down. And that is, yeah, we're not into child saving here. We don't see ourselves as, you know, coming in to save the day. We listen to kids, we listen to families, and you know, it's a critical role that we play as a check on the system and as an advisor to these children. And so, it is definitely, I think I said it earlier, work of moral consequence. As we wrap up, oh, go ahead.
And advocacy is the answer, is what we've always said. And without advocates, of course, we're not going to get where we want to be as a child welfare system.
Right. And if we all keep learning and going to the conferences and you know, improving the practice, then, you know, with each year, we'll see better outcomes for kids. And as we wrap up for today, we did want to give you a heads up. We have had a number of requests for a series on older youth and representing older youth. And we decided to start that in the new year. We wanted to do this resolution episode for you. And so we look forward to getting that out for you in the coming weeks. So we hope you all have if you're on break, a good rest of your break and a great start to the new year. And thank you so much for listening.
You've been listening to the Children's Law Podcast brought to you by True North Child Advocates. Please take a moment to subscribe and spread the word. Thank you.